All right. This is Beard Edge for March 28th, 2014. That's not right. 2015. Damn.
13.
Pardon me. Do you have the year?
I didn't know I was figured out time travel already.
You did.
Goddamn Hadron Collider.
And we just fucked up the time stream. We don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, when the giant ants show up, we'll all be good, right?
And I, for one, would just like to welcome my new overlords.
And let them know,
as a streamer, I can be very influential.
This is why you're new. Always keep on hand the lottery numbers for the last several months.
And they said I was mad bottling all that sugar water.
You know, when I was driving on the highway earlier today, all the road signs said, expect the unexpected. So I was on the lookout for dimensional portals and giant gophers, but, you know, I was disappointed. Anyways, this is the show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and how many times do you have to get electrocuted to get superpowers? I'm Morps, and tonight we have with us RU486, the BSV, and returning, we have Static.
Hey.
As opposed to a noise. I think everybody expected me to play a noise on the soundboard right then. So. Anyways, I'm starting off with Patron tonight. Static, what are you drinking?
Woodford's.
Excellent. Excellent choice. BSV?
Finally.
I'm sorry. I'm only drinking my Lilo. I decided to cut the blue out of my Mountain Dew.
And are you, what passes for water where you live?
Last week it was a radiator. This week I found a small brown bag in a car park at Woolworths. And I've mixed that into a shot of drinking chocolate.
Wow.
I will be taking that intravenously during the show.
Wow.
I was going to peg feed myself, but cutting into the stomach lining at this short notice was...
No, sorry.
Not to self. Bring your own water to Australia.
Shit.
It's safer.
So, a little bit of station news. We are going to be setting up the feed page for on the beta site for IHN 2 next couple of days. I hope to get to that. Since all the code already exists for the current show on there, it shouldn't be nothing to add a new one. I just haven't been able to sit down and do it. So, for anyone who's not aware, RU spun AHN back up, and it's crazier than ever, I believe. So
Getting there. We're still tuning it.
Yeah, we're aiming for optimum. I'm not actually sure what we're aiming for anymore.
Exactly, dude, because it's I have nothing. There is nothing. There is nothing of substance, not even the people.
Well.
I blame
this
chaos.
This is why nobody joins my show anymore. They can't take an insult. What happened to the men of this world? And men used to be men, and women were men as well, and boys were girls, and girls were men. And that boat just got really complicated. I'm out.
I'm confused. I'm confused, lost, and a little bit frightened. So
that's how you should feel on an IHN. Stop padding the show with bands. We're padding people, as you can tell.
Yes. So let's move straight into it here. Might be a hair short on the show tonight. I was having a rough time finding stories. So for discussion, Fortune put out an interesting article. In the last 2 years, Fortune 500 countries from Sony to Target to Anthem have had major data breaches. Executives got fired. Lots of consumers had their credit card and other personal data, stolen. And corporations have frantically tried to control the damage, and apparently Target has just agreed to pay $10 million in a proposed settlement of a class action lawsuit against the 2013 breach.
Is that all they got hit with?
Yeah.
$10
million? $10
million. They got off the fucking light.
That's the point. The article goes on. It follows in details several of the organizations that have gotten hacked in the past couple of years. So, like, Sony is, Sony, Home Depot, and Target after all these major hacks they've had, like their stock has barely ticked and the amount they've had to pay out has been nothing. Like they've had a couple of sacrificial firings to blame it on somebody, but yeah, the annual expenses reported or discovered, where was it? Keeping up for breach related expenses in the company's quarterly financials. Dean, the researcher, or Benjamin Dean is a researcher they talked to for the article. Dean discovered that the actual expenses reported by these companies amounted to less than 1% of the annual revenue. So these security breaches, while they're huge and massive, they're costing the company so little, the chance that they're actually going to do anything to fix it is nil, because it would be cheaper just to pay the, you know, $10 million in Target's case, just paying for the security breaches outright than actually fixing the problems. Which, by the way, is the same reason the banks and the credit card companies haven't been fixing all the identity theft. It's cheaper to just pay it than it is to re-engineer the entire system into something a little bit more secure.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's kind of what I want to talk about. It's like, you see in the news these major breaches happening, but people still shop at Home Depot and Target. People still buy Sony TVs.
Pay with cards.
Hell, cash. Sony's gotten bit a couple of times with this kind of shit. So,
yeah. That's why, at least I've mostly been paying with cash, and also reason not to sign up for their cards.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, it's not only that. Like I just actually got popped through Anthem through my healthcare.
Yeah, they had a huge hack.
Yep. And so both my wife and I got popped for it.
Did anything come of it, or you got the letter from Anthem saying, oh, by the way, your data's been breached, so we're going to pay for a year of ID protection or something?
Yeah, I mean, that's it's all tapping. I mean, I haven't, you know, had any data breach that I know of confirmed, but, you know, I put a credit hold. You know, there's no way to get credit on me really right now.
Yeah. And you have to. And so let's say you needed to get credit for something. You know, now you're stuck.
Well, it's not necessarily that you're stuck. There is a way to get it. It just takes a little longer.
Throw small flags.
Yeah. But, I mean, still, that's a lot of hassle you have to go through because Anthem couldn't get their shit together and run their network properly.
Right.
But you don't make the decision to go with Anthem. The company you work for does. So,
yep.
You know, you don't really even really get a say in this shit.
So, I find it kind of funny. They switched with the new year of insurance that just came out. We switched to United instead of Anthem this year. I wonder if that had anything to do with it.
I doubt it, honestly.
Yeah, probably not, but...
Hell, Lenovo just got nailed preloading malware on their machines. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. They're not taking that much of a stock hit. They're still have businesses with contracts with them and still shipping laptops. I know if I was in charge of... Okay, I actually am in charge of some of those recommendations where I currently work. I flat out told them not to order any more Lenovo laptops. They haven't for a long time because they've got a contract with Dell. But still, I mean, it's one of those things. It's like,
Dell, you know, that little fingers of Asian children have put it together in sweatshop conditions.
And you know what? I bet those sweatshop jobs are better than whatever the hell they would be doing otherwise.
You keep telling yourself that, Morps.
I like my sleep, thank you very much. Seriously, what else would those kids be doing?
I don't know, having a childhood? Going to school?
If they're poor enough that they have to work in sweatshops, do you really think they're going to have much of a childhood?
Dude, I like to sleep at night too, all right? Fuck off. My version of what's fucking real is a lot better than yours. And if you're not happy with that, I'll see you in the Persian Gulf and we'll fucking fight about it.
Nah, that's okay. I'm not that serious about these convictions. I just like throwing the arguments out to hear people's reactions.
I know.
I was kind of like getting a gasp out of somebody with that one.
The thing about it doesn't matter if it's Dell, HP, IBM, whoever. They're all using the same sweatshops.
They're all doing the same thing, man. Foxconn now with extra big suicide nets.
Don't worry, the workers who jumped into the net last week will cushion your fall.
No. They got rid of the nets. They're now the blobs. So whoever jumped last week gets to the end, and then they get catapulted.
We've replaced the suicide nets with new slide systems designed by Mike McDonald's and Chuck E. Cheese.
You're worrying about it the wrong way. You just need to make sure to seal off all windows and just have a slit to put food in and take out the or whatever they're building.
But, you saw the Foxconn documentary then.
But that's the thing. That's the thing. Think about that for a second, though. People are lining up for those jobs. So there must not be anything better if you think about it.
Well, when you think where they're coming from, man, they're traditionally poor farmers trying to make a
subsistence farming. Yeah, that's
subsistence farming. But because it's being a communist state, all that food goes to the capitals first. You get to keep what's a little bit left. As the cities have got bigger, the farms have to produce more and more and more as the economy starts ramping up. Sorry?
Yeah, we lost about half of what you said there.
Oh, fuck it then. Economy, economics, growth. That's why.
Well.
No, it's people eating more, man. The farmers can't sustain. That's why they're moving to the city for jobs.
All right, fair ball. I don't really want to argue the point because
I've
done all of like 5 minutes of even reading on the subject in the past couple of years, so I'm just going off what I'm remembering, truthfully.
Yeah, I'll go back to the story. Sorry.
We're done with the story. We're just pointing out, look, these companies get hacked, and because the cost of paying...
It's ridiculous.
It's the same argument with car companies. They don't issue the recall until the cost of paying the damages gets high enough. Or they get caught knowing about it, and then the government sues the pants off of them. But
way to go, Toyota. Ford.
I don't know. BizFeed, do you have an opinion on this?
I don't know. There's not really much choice.
Do you still shop at Target, Home Depot, Health, TJ Maxx?
Yeah, most of them. You don't really have much other places to shop. At least I don't have a local or small town grocery store or clothing store.
That's true. There's always Amazon. Order shit online.
Yeah, best way to protect yourself.
Where do you think they get their stuff?
Yeah. What are you going to say, Artie?
Just the easiest way to protect yourself, pay in cash and try not to have a store card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Main thing I do.
Static, you got anything on this before we move on?
Not really. I mean, the biggest thing, I guess, to take away from it is that if you are really concerned, buy a prepaid card, take cash out of the ATM, go refill it at the store you bought it from.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. First story up I have is from Ars Technica. The UK's Court of Appeals has confirmed an earlier landmark High Court decision that a group of British consumers using Apple's Safari browser to access Google's services can sue the U.S. company in the U.K. Google has always argued that the appropriate forum for such cases is the U.S., so this sets an important precedent for future legal actions against foreign companies in the U.K. The U.K. Court of Appeals ruling clears the way for the group known as Safari Users Against Google's Secret Tracking to proceed with its claim for compensation. The group alleges Google deliberately undermined protections on the Safari browser so they could track users' internet usage to provide personally tailored advertising based on the sites previously visited. The claimants in the original High Court case said that they suffered by reason of the fact that the information collected from their devices was used to generate advertisements which were displayed on their screens. It's called ad block, people. These were targeted to their apparent interests, as deduced from the information collected from the devices they used. The advertisements they saw disclosed information about themselves. This was, or might have been, disclosed also to other persons who had either viewed or might have viewed the same advertisements on the screen of each claimant's device. The present ruling from the UK Court of Appeal does not address whether or not the Safari users should be awarded compensation for the claimed distress, but it does confirm that the appropriate forum for that case is the UK. That's crucial because it means if the claimants can use Europe's stringent data protection laws to support their case. Last year, Google was forced to comply with the EU data protection laws in Spain, where the Court of Justice of the European Union, Europe's highest court, ruled that the company could be required to erase links from certain web pages from its or of its search engine results, the so-called right to be forgotten. There are two practical implications of today's ruling. First, it became much easier to sue U.S. companies offering services in the U.K., since British consumers no longer have to bring the case in the U.S. Secondly, Google may now face a substantial class action from the UK Safari users. So, I guess to summarize that, the UK courts, there's a group suing Google because Google was tracking them, right? And I guess enough of them were using Safari that they decided that, it was some violation of the Safari browser in particular. I guess they didn't talk to anybody who actually uses the Google browser Chrome, right? But, so, getting all out, bent out of shape about that, they tried to sue Google in the UK court system. Google said, no, we're an American company. You got to sue us over here. And the UK court said, nope, you can sue them here. So, this is going to get interesting because as you see this more and more, Google and other large companies are obviously going to do what they have to do to be able to do business. But if I get some letter from the UK saying Galaxy 15 has to comply to some European standard I'd never heard of, do you know what my honest solution would be? It would not be to comply. It would be to block access. It would be to block access to Galaxy 15 to addresses in whatever country is bitching, because I can't afford to comply with every little bit of minutia from every different country or country that, you know, claims they have some right.
Yeah, you can't, but you know, you think about the Googles and the Microsofts, people like that, they have plenty of money. That's the price of business, in my opinion.
Well, my point of this is that it's eventually going to lead to a segregated internet where if you're not in a certain country, you just because of the legal requirements, you can't access these smaller services or things that are outside of the Google, the Facebook, the Microsoft. It's going to turn the internet into an even more controlled channel system than, you know, it already is.
Nothing.
Nobody wants to touch that?
Nothing. Yeah, I've got nothing on that.
I mean, but it was static. So you say it's okay to make the big companies pay that, but you don't have a problem with me blocking it?
Again, it comes down from a point of business. Okay. What I said was that it's the price of business. If I'm selling a service, okay, whether it be Google in this case or Microsoft, and I'm selling, you know, a product versus a service, I have to comply with all their legal regulations, whether it's online or storefront. So if I'm complying with them, yes, I have to pay for it. And, you know, if their law states that it's okay to be sued over there, guess what? I have to buck up and go take care of the problem. But
that's a fair point.
From the small person's perspective, sure. If they can't afford it, which was your argument just now, then okay, block it. You know, sorry for the people who live in the UK. Figure out a way around your laws, and then you can have access to my little whatever I'm offering you. Otherwise, sorry.
No, that's a fair point. That's a go ahead, BSV.
No, also, with physical goods, they already have to change their market for other countries' regulations. So,
well, here's the real question: are you live farther away than any of us,
mm-hmm,
in regard to this conversation? How many products do you get that say this is known to cause cancer in the state of California?
None.
Okay, I was just curious. I thought you might see that pretty commonly.
I have seen it, man, but it's not prevalent here. It's not like America where litigation is everywhere. Yeah, we have the idiot-proof thing like do not stick in rectum and things like that. But, you know, do not take hair dryer into shower.
No. I was actually referring to that specific message, because on a lot of the common things like tape and all this other shit, it's on everything here. Because in anything that's sold, you know, where I live, is also going to be there. A lot of times they're going to want to sell the same product in California, so we see this warning label for California on shit, even though I'm on the other side of the country.
Right, so, and that's our products come from Asia.
Right, it is a very same. Even like, okay, so we have a product. Let's just call it product A. It gets sold in the States. It has one label. It gets sold in Asia. It has another label. Okay. It gets sold in Australia. It has a different label. It's all based on, that's what BSU was alluding to a moment ago. Mm-hmm. They have to change their marketing scheme and their product packaging. Everything is redone according to the specific regulations of that country.
Okay, fair ball. So
it's really interesting to see, and I know this because I've actually bought computers from Mexico versus buying a computer that was made in Asia, and you can tell some of the differences right off the bat from the packaging itself. And I thought that was really cool and kind of neat to look at. But
okay, I probably should not be chatting in the IRC during the show.
I was like, did I lose everybody? Hello?
No, I was typing. So next story up is from, fair points all around. I still kind of get a little worried when you start seeing this kind of stuff where you're going to end up with Google Hub providing different services in different countries, you know, even if they aren't, you know, even if they don't want to, I'm afraid the ultimate thing you're going to see is the internet, you know, the UK internet and the French internet and the Australian internet and the US internet, and the connections between them will be very restricted, controlled, to the point where, like, doing things like this where we have people from multiple countries regularly hanging out and talking out will just not happen because the IPs will be blocked.
And I completely agree with you, and I think that is something that we're probably headed toward in some regards, but at the same point, we're already there, kind of, you know. Australia, for instance, you know, your internet is probably totally different than ours. You know, the people over in Europe, their internet's completely different than ours. And, you know, people complain about how their internet's so slow and everything, and then, you know, you see stories like our internet speeds are like 20 times what we get now, and it's like, you know, I consider our speeds fast, but sure, there's speeds out there that are even better. You know, that's just one side of the service. And you know, I think at the same point, again, all of it has to be marketed to that specific region, that specific country. And then at that point, you know, yes, their internet is developed for them. It is their internet. Whether or not we have access to what they see, you know, or whether or not we even really want to have access to what they see on their internet, you know, I mean, it comes down to, yeah, you want to have freedom to be able to make that choice. But, you know, at the end of the day, I get on, I find what I want, and I'm done.
Yeah.
Also, if you're talking about that, how many videos have we found that, like, our you sends us a link and all of us get, this video cannot be shown in your country?
Well, that's happened a couple of times, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Anyways, all right, next story up is from Torrent Freak. A draft of new legislation aimed at stopping Australian consumers from accessing pirate sites has been made available this morning. The amendments, which contain criteria that could see hundreds of sites blocked by ISPs, is believed to have been reworded to ensure that VPN services don't become caught in the dragnet. During the December 2014 Attorney General... let's try that again... During December of 2014, Attorney General George Brandis and the Communications Minister Malcolm Turnbull asked the Australian Cabinet to approve the development of a new legal mechanism which would allow rights holders to obtain site-blocking injunctions against ISPs. The legislation was introduced into Parliament. Kept under wraps until this morning, the site-blocking elements of the Copyright Amendment Online Infringement Bill of 2015 are likely to please rights holders with significant reach. In order to apply for an injunction against an ISP, rights holders need to show that the provider in question provides access to an online location outside of Australia and that the location infringes or facilitates infringement of copyright. The location's primary purpose must be to infringe copyright, whether or not in Australia. Aside from the rights holders and the ISP operators of locations, the word site is not used, presumably to add breadth. They're using the word location as a sprite just to make it longer. Will be given the option to apply to become party to any of the proceedings. Once an injunction is handed down against an ISP, it will be required to take reasonable steps to disable access to the infringing site. What amounts to a reasonable will almost certainly be the subject to further discussion, as any overbroad moves could result in collateral damage and bad PR. Currently, there are 11 areas that the court will examine when deciding whether to hand down an injunction. The key issues involved intent, in particular whether or not a site's primary purpose is to infringe, and the flagrancy of any infringement. And a nod to BitTorrent and similar indexes around today, the court will consider whether the location makes available the contents or directories, indexes, or categories of the means to infringe or facilitate the infringement of copyright. So that right there, the means to facilitate. So if I was to put up a tutorial on Galaxy 15 of here's how to use, I don't know, Deluge, or pick a BitTorrent client, or I have links in the Digital Dojo sections to how to get onto I2P or Tor, how to get around some things, I've got links to how to set up honeypots and how to break into shit. Depending on how broadly what they want to interpret this could mean that Galaxy 15 Radio, because we take such a flamboyant stance on some of this stuff, they could decree that, oh, nope, we don't like this, and order Australian ISPs to block it. This, again, goes back to the whole idea of separate countries getting separate internets. So apparently they added some amendments so that they wouldn't accidentally get VPN providers as well. That's why they're very specific about the intention of the service.
VPNs were the first things they went after.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to do this story, is because they're saying that VPNs are not blocked in Australia, and you have said otherwise. So,
you can get a VPN here in Australia. It is legal to have one. But here comes the kick in the dick. You're the first on the list.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, you have a VPN? Yes. Right this way to the camps.
Dude, they're the ones that they're going to go through their history first.
Yeah. Well, technically with a VPN, they'd have a hard time doing that.
Yeah, but when do it? It's guilty before innocent now. Oh, you had a lock on your door. You were hiding something. Let me search your car. You know what I mean?
But damn. My car automatically comes with a lock.
Doesn't matter.
You didn't disable that to provide for police access.
Exactly. Now, you've got an access number on your phone, and I can't get into it. You must be hiding something. You got to learn to hide in plain sight.
I okay.
Thinking of ways of this, because it's not for another 2 years yet. I've got 2 years to come up with a way to get around it.
So here's my stance on this one. And of course, I'll probably be the only one out there. But this is talking about copyrights. And, if I have intellectual property that I have copyrighted, that I'm trying to make money on, and yes, I admit it, I have broken that before in the past, but I've taken a new stance on things. So there's enough stuff that's streamed legally now that I don't have to worry about downloading movies, songs, blah, 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 whatever. And, it comes back to, legality of it. Again, each country has its specific laws, its regulations that are in place. And if I don't follow those, then yeah, sure, I'm going to be blocked in that country. That's what the YouTube things pop up. You can't watch this video because, it's been blocked for some reason. It may not be a national law, but there's some regulation maybe from YouTube that has it blocked in certain countries.
Well, my concern is that it's going to be overly broadly interpreted. Yeah, if you're going after, the Pirate Bay, which is obviously trying to bend over and moon the copyright laws, I mean, yeah, that's one thing. But, that was why I gave the example of I've got links on my site. I could see them blocking my site because I've got links on it to some things. I mean,
but honestly, those links, what's the true intent? of what a person would use that for. I'm not talking about your intent, but you know, someone who looked up the how-to that you had, what would they truly be using it for? Legal or illegal?
If they're like me, which is kind of the hope, they're using it to learn about these systems so that they better understand how things work. And one of the best ways to see how some of this stuff works is by seeing how it breaks.
That said,
there are a lot of people who will look up a lot of the network security information, the NetSec subreddits, the links I provide, yeah, because they're not out there looking to learn. They're script kiddies. They want to find the quick program that lets them hack a bank and be like, well, the hacker movies haven't really been cool for a long time, but if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So I think when it comes
to that intent, my intent is information and having some fun. The problem is that I'm not going to be able to explain that because I'm not going to know that my site's been blocked until it hits the fucking papers.
Yeah.
But again, it's interesting that they're specifically trying to avoid target VPNs, but they're still passing this crazy, overly broad legislation. Keep making your point. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying
You're fine. I mean, it is interesting that the VPNs are not being targeted. I mean, kind of like how you said, that would be my first target personally, myself. But, you know, again, if you're doing something illegal, you know, I think, yeah, that stuff should be blocked. That's just me. You know, whether everybody agrees or doesn't agree, you know, I don't care. But
why should I have to pay twice the amount for Netflix for half the content?
Again, that's your regulation in your country.
No, that's Netflix coming to this country saying it's going to cost twice as much and you can only have half our content. That's not our regulations.
Well, then if you get enough people to boycott Netflix, they'll change.
Well, the content-wise is regulations, because they need permissions for each country.
I watch a lot of shows that aren't broadcast in Australia every week, and some of them are European. And they don't get broadcast here, and I can't buy the DVDs here. And if I do buy the DVDs overseas, they're fucking region locked. So how am I meant to get that content? This is my argument about this stupid fucking rule. If it's out there and I can't access it because there is no business there to give it to me, and I can't pay someone for it, but hey, look, I can get it for free over there. Geez, I'd really like to pay for this, but there's no opportunity to pay for it.
That's a valid point. I mean,
my whole concern here is that this is ultimately censorship. Now, there's a censorship of activities that are illegal, but this kind of thing tends to be overly applied. And this is one of the reasons why I'm not a big fan of the FCC finally having some net neutrality rules. I'm afraid that they will eventually be abused, maybe not in their current form. But, you know, once the government has said it can regulate something, when has it ever said, oh, nope, we've changed our minds, we don't actually have the right to regulate that? And eventually, somebody is going to get in the government who you don't agree with. I'm not a particular fan of our current government, but... you know, a lot of people are, and they love the net neutrality. But so, you know, for those people, what happens when the pendulum swings the other way and a different political party is in power and maybe they decide they want to start doing some of the same kind of rules that you see on broadcast TV on the internet? That's kind of not cool. I mean, it's one thing if content is available and you don't want to see it. That's, you know, fine. Don't look at it. You don't have to. But, you know, if it's like, oh, that's already illegal. You know, it's already illegal. Why do you need more restrictions on top of it? But it's because they can't prevent people from doing it. That's why. So I don't like the concept of censorship in general. I feel like I should have the right to, you know, if the content has been made and I want to procure it, Legally. I should have
and it's not illegal content.
Right.
It's not child pornography or something.
Right. Legally. If it's something you want and it's not something that's already illegal, you know, like I know there are people out there. I'm not one of them. I don't know why somebody would want to see that kind of content. That's not the argument I'm making. I'm like TV shows. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, right? That's the argument I'm making as well.
You know, if there's a legal mechanism for acquiring that, great. But if you can go in and say, no, this is the only mechanism, and we're going to ensure that there's no others by actually using the law to shut down competition, that's where I see this going. And maybe I'm over-reading it, but I see this as, you know, Netflix, for example, has started to produce their own content. How many YouTube guys make their own content now? And I could see the big content companies. It's like, well, we already filter for copyright infringement. You know, these guys aren't licensed through us, and we own the concept of movies. So, am I reading too much into this?
Oh, I think you're right. It just depends the level of tyranny at the end of the day.
Static, what do you think, man?
Hold on. I'm contemplating still. No. Okay, so let me back up. The first thing is, one, if someone's doing something illegal, okay, yes, there are tools that are in place to address those. So one, I see it as they're possibly doing this to reduce the amount of cost that it takes to, you know, prosecute people, because hey, if they can't access it, there's no need to prosecute because hey, they can't access it. Okay, so there's that side. There's also the side that RU said now, where there are things that are legal that he wants to buy, but he can't. Okay, whether it be online, physical copies, whatever. So in that regards, I guess my stance would be, yeah, if there's something that's legal to access and there's no other means to gain access to it, then yeah, I could see, you know, someone doing that, and then this law would be a kind of a bitch slap. But I think as far as the whole net neutrality thing, yes, we're always going to have people in power that are going to be making regulations that either A, I don't agree with, or you don't agree with, and we're on opposite sides. Nobody's ever going to be 100% happy. So we have to look at the end result of what's the best for everyone. You know, whether or not it pleases everyone, what's the best? I heard this statement the other day. As a leader, I have to listen to everyone, but in the end, I have to make the best decision that I think is right. Now, if we had leaders who actually followed that all over the world, holy crap, would there be, you know, just an awesome revolution of change that would just completely support our system on all fronts. But the problem is we have little people who have minor or even major, you know, ideas in their heads that they want to get their own policies across that support them and their party only. And that's the problem.
I'd be willing to accept, not even best, I'd be willing to accept people who actually gave a little bit of thought to what policies are you willing to enforce at gunpoint.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, any law that is passed, ultimately, how will it be enforced? You get down to brass tacks of how this shit actually works. Because I've had this argument with a few people already, actually, at work. It's like, okay, you want to ban something. Fine. Are you willing to ban it at gunpoint? What? No, I don't want to point guns at anybody. Well, you want a law passed, yeah. How are laws enforced? Well, it's a law. You're not supposed to break a law. You know, okay, yeah, people do. So how do you enforce laws? Well, cops do it. And what happens if you break that law? Oh, you get arrested. Okay, what happens if I don't agree to be arrested by the police? And you have to walk them through these 30 steps so they finally get to the point that the police are going to pull a gun on your ass and drag you to prison if you don't agree with the regulation. So if you could at least get to the point where it's like, you understand that this shit is enforced at gunpoint ultimately. Yeah, at least that. I'd take that, you know, people understanding that before going for best.
So what you're saying is I'm going to get my ass lit up by the cops for piracy in the coming years.
Ultimately, probably.
Yeah.
Fucking sweet.
Just make sure that you go out in a blaze of glory fit for a movie, dropping the burned CDs from your hand.
I am skilled in the art of siege. All I'd like to say, Your Honor.
So we came by to check on your house, and we see that you've reinforced all the walls with concrete and built a barricade out of sandbags.
Actually, no, we have anti-fortification laws. I just remembered.
So, yeah. No, that's not fortification, sir. That's a stylistic decoration choice.
A shrubbery.
If you own a motorcycle, if you own a motorcycle and are a member of a motorcycle enthusiast club, and you decide that you'd like a little extra security on your house, put up security lights and grills on the windows and stuff like that, that is fortification. You are technically in breach of the legislation.
You can't put security lights on your house.
You think I'm shitting you, don't you? It's true.
No, he's saying it's a combination of all three there.
Yep.
Owning the motorcycle, being a part of the club, and then putting the lights on. So put the lights on first, then get the motorcycle, and then join the club? Hey, it was already there.
Now you're thinking with portals. Not, right. I've already thought about things like that more upset. And look, I'm just going to jail for 2 years.
Hey, it's all in jail then. Isn't that free food, free medical care, right?
Exactly.
Hey, you know, all good.
And it's not American prison, so I'm not going to get Italy raped. I'm
hey,
going to get
like
education.
Access, right?
The food has got to be up to a minimum standard. And where I actually make a living wage when I work for the prison. Hey, 2 years is a vacation, man. No bills. Everything's paid. Sweet. All because right. I pirated a movie.
Well, they apparently don't run their prisons like I do in oh crap, what's the Steam game? Prison
Architect?
Yeah. I put the food and everything once a day, lowest quality, everything. Yeah, I get riots all the time.
All right. Next story up is from Ars Technica. A 13-year-old Southern California boy has confessed to 3 different swattings. One in which he threatened to blow up a house with hostages in a suburban neighborhood, the police said Friday. Blow up a house. Wow. I don't think he knows how hard that actually is to do.
Turn gas on for 35 minutes, leave house candle lit.
Yeah, but you got to seal it in such a way, otherwise you just get a fireball through the house. You actually have to have it pop. The Camarillo incident, there were 20-plus officers there. I was at that call. We basically surrounded a house. The caller reported there were 10 hostages in the house and demanded $30,000 in cash. Wow, lowballing it. Or he would blow up the house. Detective Gene Martinez of the Ventura County Sheriff's Department said in a telephone interview with ours, "Whenever there is a hostage situation, we activate specialized units to respond. The boy has been released from to the custody of his parents pending a juvenile court hearing scheduled next month. Because of his age, his name was not released. I'm betting it was Trolls Mix YOLO. He is likely to get a probation term as punishment. The January swattings included 2 in Ventura County, just north of Los Angeles, and one of a rival Minecraft gamer in Ocean City, New Jersey," Martinez said. "The other victims were a teacher and a classmate. He did admit to doing the incidents. He felt he was wronged. The IP address that the VoIP calls originated from in New Jersey incident, which was traced to the boy's Camarillo, California residence. The authorities found phone spoofing software on the computer. The boy is the second teen arrested in as many months in connection with swatting. A 19-year-old Las Vegas teen, Brandon Wilson, was arrested last month in connection to a July swatting incident in suburban Chicago. Swatting has seemingly become a national phenomenon in the world of online harassment, with gamers calling police and claiming horrendous crimes are underway. The calls usually prompt armed SWAT teams to arrive at the scene. Often emergency calls appear to be coming from the target's address. Yeah. So we were looking into this just before the show, because apparently a few of us hadn't heard of swatting before.
Nope.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have fun in prison, you little fuck.
Well, he's 13. He'll get slapped on the wrist.
But, okay, in all seriousness, do you know how crazy dangerous that is to call the cops?
Especially in America.
I mean, we watched in the video, these guys were in full combat gear busting into these houses for somebody sitting there playing Minecraft, right?
Yeah. Like I said, the second video, the guy's house that got busted into, his dad got critically shot.
Because I imagine somebody comes through my door, the first thing I'm doing is standing up saying, what the fuck? Not, you know, especially if nothing's going on, you don't expect the cops.
Somebody comes busting through my door, the first thing I'm doing is the nines being pulled and shot.
Okay, to be fair, the gun's in the other room. So if I'm sitting here at my computer, I'm going to have to duct tape a gun under my desk now, damn it. Which means I'm even more likely to get shot by the cops, because you're not expecting them and they bust through the door. So... Not only that, but you think about some of the games people are sitting there playing, Counter-Strike and some of the Call of Duties and shit. You can just imagine, especially if they've got the speakers on, the cops swatting the place and they hear in the background the bomb has been armed or something. I mean,
oh, damn it.
Or if they're just talking to other people they're playing with.
Oh, you're playing with full speaker volume, you're doing a stealth of Payday. And you're screaming at the fucking hostage, get down on the fucking ground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
get
or,
up,
or,
I'll shoot you.
Well, like in that video we watched where the guy was sitting there getting swatted, he was trying to explain what was going on to the cops, that he was, you know, doing a live stream. And as he was explaining it, somebody using the handle Fuck the Police donates a dollar, just so that pops up in big letters across his screen. I mean, not to mention all those cops are now at some poor fuck's house, and if something else is actually going on, they're not able to respond.
Yeah, but okay, I understand that. However, this is happening like in Chicago and stuff like that. If they only have one SWAT team of 8 people, Chicago's screwed anyways.
That's probably true.
Well, it's not only that, but it's still
a waste of resources, yeah. And getting people
just
hassled
because
and...
one stupid 13-year-old felt like he was wronged in a game.
Oh, come
you
on!
Know, when they did, when they
you're
did,
telling
they
me did. It costs the taxpayers money? You know, it's a waste of taxpayers' money. Come on, how much money do they actually waste, anyways? It's like they actually got training that day, at least.
Yeah, but I mean, think about the property damage. They're busting through people's windows and doors.
Yeah, they...
Yeah, true. Minor insurance expense.
You think the cops are going to pay for that?
No, that's why you have insurance.
You can get insurance on having SWAT kick in your front door?
Hey, it's a natural disaster. I don't know.
Is one of the fucking cops a natural disaster?
You haven't been to America lately.
This is why I have a landlord. The landlord will pay for it.
There's a reason I changed it from our emerging police state to our police state in the intro.
Our emerging natural disaster.
All right, next story.
This Thursday, we protect heavy SWAT.
All right, next story is from The Guardian. The FBI wants to make us all less safe. At least that's the implication from FBI Director Jim Comey's push to ban unbreakable encryption and deliberately weaken everyone's security. And it's past time the White House makes its position clear once and for all. Comey was back before Congress this week, this time in front of the House Appropriations Committee, imploring congressmen to pass a law that would force tech companies to create backdoors in any phone or communications tool that uses encryption. He also revealed how the Obama administration may be crafting such a law right now. One of the things that the administration is working on right now is what would a legislative response look like that would allow us, with court process, to get access to that evidence, he said. Pretty much this is in response to all the phones encrypting by default. They even went on the FBI's page, webpage that was, you used to have some tips for doing digital security. Encryption used to be on there. They pulled that. So, yeah, the FBI wants to make encryption they can't break illegal.
Yeah, no. I see this from the, you know, medical record side, and I have, you know, because that's what I do, that's my job, but I can see all this data being flown out there, and we have enough breaches the way it is, so whoever's making this statement needs to just shut up, sit down, be tied up, gagged in a corner, and have the little dancing monkeys around him, because he's an idiot.
I like your torture methods. It involves trained animals. This is great.
Yes.
Don't care. Don't have a phone.
It's not just a phone. It's anything. The way I'm seeing it here, yeah, it says phone and communication device, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that includes your computer software.
This is basically government-mandated backdoors into any computer.
Yeah. And yeah, no.
Once again, 2 years in prison. Taking the prison time.
Dear Obama administration, please don't be a fuckwit.
Too late.
Yeah.
Lost that fucking 3 years ago.
As soon as he put his hand on the Bible.
All right. Next one up is from Ars Technica. Two vendors on a relatively new dark web marketplace are selling active Uber usernames and passwords. On Saturday, Ars verified that Corvusier, I'm not quite sure how to say that, it's a screen name, Corvusier, is claiming to sell these logins for a dollar each on the Alpha Bay market, which launched in late 2014. Another vendor, Thinking Forward, sells the same item for $5 each. As Corvusier writes, the credentials provided will be a valid login for the Uber website, which you can use to order phones or for completely free. You can find a guide in our store if you're unaware how to. According to the listing, a Tor Alpha Market login required. He said that he or she has sold 131 such logins since March 18th. Ours attempted to contact the two vendors, but they did not immediately respond. So I found this interesting that they were specifically selling Uber usernames and passwords. And this is going to be more and more of a thing as you have services like Uber where your username and password is tied to an account, and that account is how you pay, you know, for these different services, right? So I think this is going to get to be more and more common where you're going to see usernames and passwords that are tied to accounts that you actually do things in the real world beyond just credit cards being more and more common.
I see myself going out and buying some prepaid cards soon and just starting to use those.
Yeah.
A new prepaid card every week.
So are these the user accounts for the people using the Uber service or the actual,
you know, I'm not providers. Sure. The story doesn't make that very clear because it talks about ordering these free phones.
Well,
so I'm wondering if it's the drivers, which yeah. also would mean you could also take their earnings, couldn't you?
Well, also not only that, it's I ordered a car. Wait, this isn't. Pretty much get picked up by some random person.
That's what Uber is already. What are you talking about? I mean, it's some random person already, BSV. I don't know that that's much different.
Oh, I didn't know what I mean, though.
Except this somebody's... is the guy who's going to mug you.
Yeah. If it's somebody buying a ID login on a dark web, I'm sure they find other reasons. Kidnapping, oh, yeah. Muggins. people that just want to prank you.
Ooh, kidnappings. I didn't think about that. So if you could figure out the Uber account of, I don't know, the kid of someone with lots of money and get into it and just wait until they're ordering a driver. Damn.
Well, that isn't it normally based on location, so get a random account and drive through the rich neighborhood.
Yeah, I didn't even
and
think about
this. This is why a lot
angle.
Of countries are banning Uber.
I thought it was because they didn't want them to compete with their taxi drivers.
Hmm.
Well,
that's it.
It's that and safety reasons.
That's it.
You think about it, you don't even know what the condition of that car is you're being picked up in. Huh?
I'm assuming it's out of work middle class, but
I've looked on the internet. I don't want to get into a random car with someone from the internet. You know what I mean?
Welcome
I'm on 4chan.
I will be.
I don't want
guy.
Me to pick me up from the pub after I've had a few beers.
Get in the car. So, what do you think of Julian Assange? Oh, fuck.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, that'd be a great TV show. Just like random Uber drivers picking people up and crazy shit like that happening. Nobody? Really?
No. No. Because that would be just like that goggle box crap.
No. I'm trying watching to think people happy watching thoughts, people. Sorry.
Never mind. Last story up is from The Independent. It might like sound the alcohol is now kicking in. Pretty soon the LSD will too. No, I'm kidding. It might sound like something straight out of Q's laboratory or the latest Marvel film, but a group of scientists in California have successfully created eye drops that temporarily enable night vision. The Science for the Masses, an independent citizen science organization that operates from the city of Tehachapi? Tehachapi?
Canada.
Okay. Theorized that... Canada. Blame Canada. Theorized that chlorine E6, a natural molecule that can be created from algae and other green plants, could enhance eyesight in dark environments. The molecule was found in some deep-sea fish, forms the basis of some cancer therapies, and has previously been prescribed intravenously for night blindness. Jeff Tiblets, a lab's medical officer, said there's a fair amount of papers that talk about having it injected into models like rats, and it's been used intravenously since the 60s as a treatment for different cancers. After doing the research, you have to take the next step. The next step was to moisten the eyes of biochemical researcher and willing guinea pig Gabriel Lincia's eyes with 50 microliters of CE6, which is the chlorine E6. The effect was apparently almost instantaneous, and after an hour, he was able to distinguish the shapes from 10 meters away in the dark and soon even at greater distances. When people go stand in the woods, Lincia says. I love this test. You, go stand in the dark. In the woods. Oh, look, that guy's getting mauled by a bear.
Can you see that? No,
yeah, I can see
the eye drops.
I don't want to see it anywhere.
Look, there's his head.
Wow, it would have made the Blair Witch Project a whole different movie.
Okay, where was I? We had people go stand in the woods, Lindsay said. At 50 meters, I could figure out who they were, even if they were standing up against a tree. The control group without CE6 were only able to pick out objects of a third of the time, while Lindsay's success was 100%. The effect of the chemical only lasted a few hours, and the test subject's eyesight returned to normal the next day. The organization has released a paper that detailed the experiment in their website. It said that more research will be needed to be conducted to measure the actual amount of electrical stimulation increase in the eye, whilst the long-term effects of the procedure will require further investigation. You'll go blind. doesn't matter. I think the military use it anyways. Tibbetts said that this success is perfect a demonstration of the work that his organization conducts. For us, it comes down to pursuing things that are doable but won't be pursued by a major corporation. There are rules to be followed and don't go crazy, but science isn't a mythical language that only a few elite people can speak. So, okay, all kidding about we made people go stand in the woods aside. That's actually pretty badass if they got eye drops that give you night vision.
Yeah.
So now how long do they, will they be able to implant glands in your deotox that secrete this chemical?
I don't know. That'd kind of suck in the middle of the day, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it depends. They didn't say how it affected the site at during the day.
Gives a whole new whole new meaning to that song. I'll wear my sunglasses at night.
And 10 years down the line, we see a influx of eye cancer.
Oh. Well, no, they said this drug's actually from a cancer treatment.
Yes, but you're changing what it's being, what's used for, and probably changing the properties of how it is working now. So,
well, maybe I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not a doctor. California, everything causes cancer. Yeah.
What would be neat is to see them take it and actually turn it into lenses, you know, and it become a non-mechanical night vision.
Well, I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on the internet, so I don't know. BSV, you play a doctor on the internet. What do you think?
I don't so much play a doctor as I just like randomly sending people out into the woods.
Oh, nice.
Thank you, Dr. Krieger. Here, go stand there and hold this. What is that? This is a beehive. Why am I holding this?
You'll see.
Bears, obviously. You made people go stand in the woods. Are you any thoughts?
I like eye cancer. No, I think it's a cool product.
Are you willing to go stand in the woods to test it out?
Theory, like, well, night vision being illegal here, the actual like cameras and stuff. Yeah, I could see it being a good thing.
All right, let's wrap up with this. Yo! Hadouken! All right, so all I have for Digital Dojo tonight, Iron Geek has recently posted the videos from the Central Ohio InfoSec Summit. Good collection of videos there. A couple of caught my interest were the open source threat intelligence video, trends in information or in identity and access management, and the developer's guide to pen testing. Lots of videos on there. Definitely worth checking out. So it's the entire conference, basically. So
cool.
You know, get all the information out of a security conference without actually having to go to the conference. You can sit at home in your underwear and watch it.
Works for me.
I haven't actually, you know, wear clothes. Well, I've been to security conferences. I'm not so sure that the argument that you have to wear clothes really holds up. Especially about 3 in the morning when everyone's been drinking.
Yeah, those naked pen testing pool parties are amazing.
Amazing's not the word I would use, but I've actually been to one of those. So,
much back hair.
The man hugs. Oh, dear God, the man hugs. Anyways.
He got pin tested.
I ran, actually. The phrase, run for your life and cover your asshole, may have been uttered.
Nice.
Oh, shit. Anyways. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Saturday. Stick around after Saturdays. We occasionally do an IHN show. Lore does his shows throughout the weeks, usually on Tuesdays. The Galaxy 15 radio site. Check out the beta site, which is where the new shows are getting posted. beta.galaxy15radio.com. The Twitter feed, which is pretty much dead because the auto-posting coming from WordPress isn't really going to be happening anymore since it's all on the beta site now. The feedback forum, the subreddit. The feedback forum is still the best way to get a hold of us. I'm probably going to try to invent something new for the beta site here shortly, but haven't worked on that yet. So right now, that's probably still the best way to get stuff to us is that feedback forum. That's really all I've got. Anybody got anything before we close it out?
No IHN this week. I want to play Payday.
Oh, fair enough. All right. Thank you and good night.